close your eyes for a moment. Actually, don't. You're listening. But here's a thought that should unsettle you. Every single thing you believe about the world comes filtered through your senses. And your senses can be fooled by something as trivial as a bent straw in a glass of water. That's not a minor glitch. That's a crack in the foundation of everything you call real. Plato saw that crack over 2,000 years ago, and he built one of philosophy's most enduring thought experiments around it. In Book 7 of The Republic, at approximately 514a through 520a, Socrates describes a scene to his interlocutor Glaucon, Plato's own brother, that stops you cold the moment you really hear it. Picture this. Underground, a group of prisoners have been chained since childhood. They cannot turn their heads. All they can see is the wall directly in front of them. Behind them, people carry objects along a raised path, passing in front of a fire. The fire throws shadows of those objects onto the wall. That's it. Shadows. That is the prisoner's entire experienced reality. They hear echoes and assume the sounds belong to the shadows. They name the shadows. They develop expertise in predicting which shadow comes next. Brian, this is the key idea. These prisoners are not stupid. They are doing exactly what any rational mind does, building a coherent picture of the world from the only evidence available. The problem is that the evidence is radically incomplete. Now, what happens when one prisoner is freed? Plato is precise here, and the precision matters. The freed prisoner turns toward the fire and is immediately in pain. The light is blinding. The objects near the fire look less real than the familiar shadows. That means the first step toward truth feels like a step backward. The prisoner is then dragged. Plato uses that word deliberately, up and out of the cave into sunlight. Outside, the adjustment is gradual. First, shadows again, then reflections in water, then visible things themselves, then the heavens at night, and finally, the sun. Socrates connects the sun directly to the good, the highest principle in Plato's account of what can be known. The ascent is not comfortable. It is disorienting, exhausting, and resisted. Remember that. The path from ignorance to knowledge is described as painful, not triumphant. This is where metaphysics enters, Brian. Plato is not just telling a story about prisoners. He is making a claim about the structure of reality itself. The shadows on the wall correspond to ordinary physical objects, the things we touch, see, and assume are solid and permanent. But Plato argues those objects are themselves copies of something more fundamental, the forms. A beautiful painting is not beauty itself. A just action is not justice itself. The forms are the originals. Physical things are the shadows. Plato explicitly frames the allegory as being about education and the lack of education on human nature. And crucially, education is not filling an empty mind with facts. It is turning the soul, reorienting the whole person toward what can actually be known. Think of it like adjusting a telescope that has been pointed at a reflection in a puddle. The instrument works fine, it just needs to face a different direction. The philosopher who reaches the sunlight is not permitted to stay there. Plato insists on the return. The enlightened person must go back into the cave, back into political life, back among people who will likely mock or resist them, because the philosopher's eyes, readjusted to brightness, struggle again in the dark. Some scholarship reads the cave as representing the polis itself, the political community, where each society produces its own shared version of reality and calls it truth. That reading makes the allegory feel less ancient and more immediate. The takeaway, Brian, is this. Philosophy begins the moment you suspect that what you perceive as reality may only be a shadow of something deeper and more fundamental. The cave is not a metaphor for ignorance in other people. It is a mirror held up to ordinary human existence, which means it is held up to you.